Broadcasting live from the Civic Mia Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
It happened, I tell you. Welcome to Nightlight. Circa Wednesday evening in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay at our City Deck Landing Studios here at WGBW. So great to have you with me on this Wednesday evening here on Nightlight. I am your host, Pete Chwaba. I will be doing my best to entertain you for the next 2 hours, hoping to help you unwind after what presumably is a long day. Because let's face it, when you get home after a long day, it's just good to be home. So I hope you gather around the radio and we have some fun here tonight. I have a fun show planned, as always. Joining me tonight, Marquette is in the Sweet 16. That's pretty cool. The Badgers lost, which I don't think anybody was really totally surprised by, but Marquette is going to the Sweet 16. Shaka Smart is taking his team. And they, you know, I'm not saying they're big underdogs. I don't think they're favored either, obviously, but they are a 2 seed. And, oh God, I just wish Duke wasn't in that little bracket. I just have so many issues with Duke and so much pain they've inflicted on the state of Wisconsin. But Marquette is in the Sweet 16. Either way you look at it, that's a victory. That's a great year. Hopefully they go a little farther. Todd Townsend, a former Marquette hooper, he was on the last team Marquette had that went to the Final Four in 2003. He played on the team with Travis Diener and Dwayne Wade. Todd will be here. He is also my cousin, so that's kind of fun. Todd's a great guy. Makes his home in Milwaukee these days, like he did when he was at Marquette. We'll talk to Todd about what he thinks of Marquette's chances and maybe ask him to reminisce a little bit over his time when he was at Marquette and they had that great run. That is the last time they were in the Final Four. And I want to say that was the first time they were in the Final Four after they won the national championship in 1977. So we'll talk a little bit about Marquette basketball at 7:35. And then, in honor... Okay, my son Joe is going to join the show at 8:05. It was like a perfect storm. I'm not one that just puts family members on the air, even though I just said Todd was my cousin. It's a family event here tonight, but Joe, this is National Joe Day. And my son, who's 23, his name is Joe. He will be joining me to discuss his day. And since Ben Chan was here last night, the Jeopardy King from Northeast Wisconsin, I wrote up this whole game of Office Jeopardy because the show Office premiered 19 years ago. This week. So I was going to run this game by Ben, but he's like, you know, I don't really know Office that well. I could guess. And I said, you know, I don't want to put him on the spot. The guy crushed Jeopardy for a year. So I don't want to make him feel like, you know, this is so trivial anyway. So my son, Joe Chwaba, to celebrate National Joe Day, will be here. And he is an Office fanatic. He got me into the Office when he was like in seventh or eighth grade. I was like, what is he laughing at? And it was The Office. So Joe is going to play Office Jeopardy in Ben Chan's place on National Joe Day. This is a perfect storm. My cousin Todd will be here before that. So it's kind of, there's a lot of nepotism going on here tonight, folks. And then Pete Moore. We had a technical issue. We're still hoping to get Pete. Also in honor of The Office. Pete waited tables with Steve Carell when they were both at Second City. And hopefully he'll share some Steve Carell with us if we can figure this out. So that's our show tonight. Those are our guests. It's great to have you with me. As usual, I want to hear from you throughout the course of the show. You can text me whatever is on your mind at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And tonight's question, in honor of Steve Carell, and Pete Moore, what celebrity would you want to hang out with before they became famous? What celebrity would you want to hang with before they became famous? And Pete is the guy, too, because we had Pete on a couple months ago because it was Jennifer Beal's birthday. Pete kissed her in a play in high school. So he had Pete on to talk about his kiss with Jennifer Beals. It made for very sweet radio. So that will be fun to have Pete back on. Any tangential or circumstantial or whatever connection he has to a celebrity, we're going to talk to him about it because Pete is a funny guy. So there's our show tonight when it comes to guests and the question, what celebrity would you want to hang with before they became famous? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, my good man, you can also tell people how they can text us on the stream and watch on the stream.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and WGBW. On YouTube, we're on Civic Media, and on Twitter or X, WGBW.
There you go. You ready to take some texts?
Of course. Always am.
Sherry checking in already. Hi from Horicon, Pete. Hello, Sherry. Always good. Sherry, you weren't with us last night. We didn't like send a St. Bernard out. I wasn't too concerned, but I'm glad you're back. I'm sure you had a good reason for not joining us last night, but I'm glad you're back. A lot of weird stuff today in the way of just odd. I love reading weird news. And today, this is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard. A couple weeks ago, I found this article that Kentucky Fried Chicken put out a product called the Cheetza. What they did was they smashed a piece of pizza on a piece of fried chicken. This is for people who can't leave their life soon enough. I don't understand why you would eat that. And if you had to eat it, what's the matter with having a piece of chicken and a piece of pizza on your plate? People might judge you, but to put them together and call it a Cheetza doesn't make any sense to me. However, this might be worse.
It definitely is worse.
It is, right? I mean, all right. So Conrad showed me this before. This is 7-Eleven Select. That's for the higher brand of 7-Eleven. As most of you may or may not know, probably not. I love a good seltzer water. Blackberry cucumber is my favorite. I love San Pellegrino. I like the small bubbles. They're not too unsettling. Bubbly's okay. I'm a seltzer connoisseur. This is new from 7-Eleven. It's called Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water. That's right, folks. Finally, the great taste of a disgusting hot dog in a can. I mean, like, what is happening? It's almost like people are just, and this ties back into, the other night I was talking about the dad bod and how ridiculous I thought that was. And I really do. I think it's people on Madison Avenue that are just like, the marketing people influence everything. So my guess, it was a bunch of guys that were overweight that got tired of doing sit-ups and said, hey, let's just say the dad bod is the thing. And all of a sudden, girls in their 20s are going to like overweight guys 30 years older than them. That makes no sense to me. The Cheetza makes no sense to me. And now this, what is going on with people and marketing? They're trying. It's almost like the Kurter burger too. Like they're challenging us to see how poorly we can eat. Hey, let's have a Kurter burger with a slice of Cheetza on the side and a hot dog seltzer water. I don't think I would ever stop vomiting.
That sounds so gross.
This has to be a joke. What are they doing here?
They're a week off of the April Fool's joke thing.
Okay.
Maybe they'll end it there and be like, just kidding.
Maybe. And you know what? That was the Kurter burger. That was an April Fool's joke when they put that out. And then a bunch of gluttons said, no. Wait a minute. That's a joke? I want that goodness in me.
I still have never tried one of those.
I mean, why do you have to put them together?
What's wrong with just having cheese curds on the side?
What's wrong? People do that all the time. And it's socially acceptable. You would ostracize people if you ate that in front of people.
I just can't believe that the sparkling water has turned to hot dog.
It's Yeah, of all the flavors, even hamburger would have been better.
I just think all of them would be.
Would be better.
Now, here's a question. Did they infuse ketchup and mustard into it as well?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like a plain hot dog flavored seltzer water, please. No onions or green relish for me. Yeah, I don't get it. I give up. And knuckleheads are going to buy it because it's so gross and they'll think they're making a statement and branding themselves. Look what I drank. Yeah, okay, you're a weirdo. Who would drink this?
They took one sip and then dumped it and then act like they drank it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you love hot dogs,
yeah,
you don't need it, the flavor in a water. It reminds me of The Simpsons when they had this commercial. Bart was watching TV and Ari Shearer's voice said, "Finally, the great taste of Worcester sauce in a soft drink." We're there. That was a joke. That was parody.
So they predicted this as well.
They did. The Simpsons predict everything. Dear God, that's awful. On a lighter note, there was a winner to the $1.3 billion jackpot. The downside is it wasn't me. But I think that's pretty cool.
Did it say what state the...
Oh, you know, it might have been California.
Oh, my dad bought one yesterday and he said he was going to win. So I had my hopes up for a second.
He bought it post drawing. He got a discount on the ticket because
it already happened.
This one for half. Yeah. Sold. But wait, because the drawing millions is Tuesday, right? Oh, your dad's okay. Yeah, he got in on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because Powerball's tonight, right?
I think that one's pretty high as well.
I love those guys. Look, I'll take that too. I'll take Powerball. I don't know. And there's a Good Times reboot. That's exciting. We'll talk about that too. This is Nightlight. I want to hear what you guys have to say. What do you could weigh in. Tell us what you think about the hot dog water. Hot dog seltzer water, ladies and gentlemen. It's a thing. It's available at your local 7-Eleven. Or you could just get a hot dog and a bottle of water like normal people. But check out the, what's it called again? Big Bite. Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water. What celebrity would you want to hang out with before they were famous? That's tonight's question. Let us know. We're talking about a lot of fun stuff tonight, including Marquette basketball in just a few minutes. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this. I don't know if I'd say gorgeous. Lovely Wednesday night. Sun is still setting. Remember when we were talking about how dark it got so early?
Yeah.
And I said they add, apparently, when you get past a certain point, it adds 30 seconds of daylight per day.
Oh, really?
Which seems like forever, but now we're like, 60 days past. That's like, yeah, 30 minutes. Seems like it's late later though. Although, and then we had the spring ahead thing. So, but it's beautiful, beautiful outside, a beautiful night. We got some people checking in. Sherry said, "Sorry, I was teaching piano late last night." Sherry is a piano teacher. I think that's so cool. She's obviously responding to the hot dog water. Sounds gross. Totally agree, Sherry.
Yeah.
So cool that you teach piano. I took like 7 piano lessons and then decided at like 10 years old, I had my life figured out and I didn't need piano in my life. No one ever says, and this is a great phrase and it's so true, "I wish I had quit piano lessons." Everyone that quits regrets it. "I wish I played the piano." Good for you, Sherry. And then from the 707, this is Cherry from the Northwest Coast, California. She says, "No, no, no. If you're going to drink flavored water," which I occasionally do, in parentheses, "please make it fruit flavored." I agree 1,000,000%, Sherry. This is an affront to the human race. I mean, I'm at an age now where I can't really I would really have to muscle a hot dog down. Maybe if it was Chicago style with just mustard and that really green relish. Even those are rubbery, though. You know what? I got to say, I did like Dodger dogs.
I think the only time to eat a hot dog is at the ballpark.
Is it a ballpark? And
yeah.
Like, Chicago, I love the toppings, but the actual dog, I go Dodger dog. Farmer John's. Delicious. I don't want either one of them in a water, though. No. So, I'm with you, Cherry. What is your favorite, though, Cherry? If you have fruit flavor, Sherry, I'm calling you Cherry. And I think it's because of The Outsiders the other night. That was Diane Lane's character's name. But Sherry, what fruit flavor is your favorite, I guess? I'm working on a, this is like so fancy, I can't even read I don't even know what this is. Mary Pepino LaCroix. It's like the designer. Now I'm too stupid to drink LaCroix, and I'm too grossed out to drink 7-Eleven. All right. So there's kind of some cool stuff happening today. There's a couple of good birthdays. Quentin Tarantino, The Office dropped this week. It's Quentin Tarantino's birthday. All right, if we can't get Pete Moore back, Conrad, let's save The Office stuff. Let's talk a little Quentin Tarantino. Where do you stand on Quentin Tarantino, Mr. Krieger?
I think he has some of the best movies I've ever watched.
Yeah, I agree.
They're really dark at times, which I'm not a huge fan of dark movies, but I'm more of a comedy relief guy, but I do enjoy him still.
His movies, as dark as they may be at times, do have good laughs in them.
Too. Yeah,
he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely. All right, so we have a clip. This is a clip from Pulp Fiction. I went to see Pulp Fiction in Indianapolis. I was still in stand-up comedy at the time. It was probably 1995, 94, I think, Pulp Fiction came out. I was with a Milwaukee comedian named Mick Leszczynski. And the two of us went to see Pulp Fiction on the day it opened in the afternoon, because that's what you do when you're on the road. You got your days free. And it was one of those movies that opened the first minute. I knew I was going to love it. The music Tarantino chooses, the opening scene, it's great. So let's go with some Pulp Fiction here.
All right, now tell her it's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
Promise her.
I promise.
Tell her to chill.
Just chill out, honey bunny.
All right, now tell me your name.
Yolanda.
All right, now Yolanda, we're not going to do anything stupid, are we?
Don't you hurt him.
Nobody's going to hurt anybody. We're all going to be like three little Fonzies here. And what's Fonzie like? Come on, Yolanda, what's Fonzie like?
It's cool.
What?
Cool.
Correctamundo. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be cool.
Okay, now you let him go.
Yolanda, I thought you were going to be cool. Now, when you yell at me, it makes me nervous. And when I get nervous, I get scared. And when motherfuckers get scared, that's when motherfuckers accidentally get shot.
Just know, you hurt him, you die.
Well, that seems to be the situation. But I don't want that. And you don't want that. And Ringo here definitely doesn't want that. So let's see what we can do. Now, here's the situation. Normally, both your would be dead as fried chicken, but you happen to pull this while I'm in a transitional period, and I don't want to kill you. I want to help you. But I can't give you this case, because it don't belong to me. Besides, I've been through too much over this case this morning to just hand it over to your dumb.
That's still my favorite Samuel Jackson movie. In that scene, if you haven't seen the movie, Tim Roth, and I think it's Amanda Plummer, show up to rob the place where these two tough guy hitmen happen to be having breakfast after a very long night. And they pick the wrong time to rob it. Samuel Jackson pulls the guy's gun toward him, and he pulls the gun on them. It's just a great scene. And Travolta comes out of the bathroom. Just a great movie. All over the place. And then we have another one. This is from my favorite Tarantino film is kind of a newer one. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I went to see it in 2019 in the summer, not really knowing what to expect. I did not know what it was about, really. I knew there's something Manson involved, and I went to see it, and it was just like, I left not knowing what to think. I went back the next day with my son, and I'm like, I think I love this movie. I had to like take it all in. It was like a 3-hour movie. Let's play the shorter clip, Conrad. This is in this scene. Leo DiCaprio plays Rick Dalton, a washed-up actor who has a drinking problem, who's putting his face in ice water as the director comes in to talk to him.
Rick Dalton. Sam Wanamaker.
Hey, Sam, sorry about the wet hand.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm used to it with you. I just want you to know I'm the one who cast you, and I could not be more delighted that you're doing this.
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate it. That's a good part.
Yeah, it is. Have you met Jim Stacy, the series lead?
Not yet. No, no.
Well, you guys are going to be dynamite together.
Well, it's sounds like exciting.
Yeah, lightning in a bottle. Now, Rick, about your hair.
Oh, what about my hair?
I want to go with a different hairstyle.
Huh. What?
Something more hippie-ish.
You want me to look like a hippie?
Well, think less hippie, more Hell's Angel.
Say, Sam, if you got me covered up in all this, this junk, how's the audience gonna know it's me?
I hope they don't.
I hope they don't. Oh, there's so much going on in that 1 minute there. So much to unpack. Maybe we'll do that. Coming up next, we're talking a little bit about Marquette basketball. They are in the Sweet 16, ladies and gentlemen. My cousin Todd will be along. He was on the 2003 Final Four team. So we'll reminisce a little bit with Todd and ask him what he thinks about their chances this year. They're in kind of a tough bracket, but I think it could be doable. We'll find that out next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. The time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Coming up at 8:05, to help celebrate National Joe Day is my son, Joe Schwabba. He will also be playing Office Jeopardy because Ben Chan was here last night, the Jeopardy champ, and said he was not versed in Jeopardy or in Office Trivia. So the Office dropped this week, 19 years ago. We'll talk to Joe about that. Pete Moore coming up later in the show. And tonight's question, get in on the fun, folks. What celebrity would you want to hang with before they became famous? Pete Moore waited tables with Steve Carell. Has a funny story about that. So let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, we're broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful downtown Green Bay studios. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest. He is a former Marquette University Golden Eagle. He was on the Final Four team in 2003, and he is my cousin, Todd Townsend. Todd, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, guys. What's up, cuz? How are you?
I'm doing all right, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Like, how can you not be doing good in the month of March? You know, you get basketball.
Indeed.
Kids are on spring break. Yeah, kids are on spring break. You know, being in Wisconsin, the gray skies can get to you a little bit, but you know, it's that's the Midwest for you.
You got a few kids there and they're on spring break, so you probably welcomed an invitation to come on the radio and have a few minutes apiece in your man cave there or whatever.
It was so funny. I was like, I gotta be quiet. I gotta get them up to their room, And they're just, candy and everything right now. That it's all the things they can't do during a normal week. They're allowed to do now. So it's their bedtime is normally around this time. They're probably up until about 9:30.
All right, that's not too bad. Won't be too tough to get them back on a schedule. But be that as it may, Todd, I know you're a busy guy. Appreciate your time and jumping on tonight. So I'm trying to figure out how we start here. Let's start with your career at Marquette. 2003, you're on the national, you're on the Final Four team. You got Travis Diener, Dwayne Wade, Tom Crean was the coach. You were there during a very exciting time. Can you talk a little bit about those times?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's different because we didn't have social media then. I think Facebook just started.
Yeah.
Not most people wasn't on it, you know. And we didn't have Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Didn't have Instagram. And I felt like the moment lasted longer for us than I think student athletes today or athletes in general. You know, I feel like, you know, obviously, you know, you're on radio shows, you are on, I mean, when you win, everyone wins, you know, they're writing stories about the walk-ons and the assistant coaches and things of that nature. I don't remember much of the games, especially that last one where we got crushed. But, you know, I remember the bus rides. I remember the plane rides. I remember just, I remember the grind more than anything. But I remember my teammates and the friendships that we struck. And last year we just celebrated. We celebrated for the first time actually ever last year. It was the 20-year reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it was crazy. You know, it was one of those things where soon as we made the Final Four, Dwayne was off to the, you know, to get prepared for the NBA. We were student athletes, so class was there. We never got a chance to party with the students because it was, you know, it was, you know, we were traveling. And last year we got together for the first time as a team. And I mean, Marquette did a great job. I think we had about three or four celebrations, you know, throughout the year, and it was fun. It was awesome.
That's so cool. What's it like when you guys get together? I mean, you're so tight for that time and to go to the Final Four for the first time in, you know, three decades almost.
Yeah.
Is that bond when you get back together? Do you pick up right where you left off, or is there a little bit of awkwardness at first?
There's no awkwardness at all. There's zero. You know,
that's
it's
cool.
Like spending things. It's like spending Thanksgiving with your cousins. You know, it's like, you know, you're having a dance party. You don't see each other for a long time. We do have a group chat where we are very active in. And we got, you know, a title Final Four team. And I mean, every member is in that chat. Dwayne, Tom Crean, Novak, Travis, you know, the walk-ons, Jarrett, Tony, like everyone's in it. And we tease each other throughout the year. We wish each other happy birthday. But when we're back together, it's like, I don't know, like, Dwayne's not D-Wade, you know, in a sense. Like, he's not this Hall of Fame NBA player. He's like your teammate. And you can tease him and do all these things, no different than what we did from 01 to 05, you know, when we were there. And it's an awesome, unreal feeling that I'm sad that a lot of people don't get a chance to, I think, enjoy. You know, and so it's phenomenal.
Do you guys, so like last weekend, were you in that group chat? Were you all going back and forth? Is that never?
I think our side group, our side group chats were, you know, we were, some could be a little bit more critical of Marquette basketball throughout the year than others. But we do text, and it's like last night I was at the Bucks game and I ran into Novak. He does TV for them. And with it being a national televised game, he was off, but he still went to the game with his family. And he was like, "Hey, man, you want to try to go to Dallas, you know, and go watch and play and, you know, things of that nature." And we talk, and we celebrated one of my teammates' wife's birthday down at Victor's. It was the bar and
in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
My gosh, that place is still there. Victims,
it's still there. It's up for sale, by the way. And it was, you know, we're getting together and we're talking about these young guys and watch them improve. And we've gotten a chance. Shaka has been phenomenal. I mean, he has been phenomenal. Like, we have been involved with this team since the moment that he's gotten a job. Because of NIL, we've done some community service stuff together, projects, and interact with these young men, Pete. Like, it's, I've never been prouder of our university.
Wow.
You know, I think all together, you know, they made a run 10, you know, 11 years ago. I was still coaching. I wasn't really included. My teammates were still playing basketball. So we wasn't as, you know, we followed them, we rooted for them, but I don't know if I ever rooted more for a Marquette basketball team to be successful.
That is, you know, that is so great hearing you say that, because I assumed you were rooting for them, but the fact that you still feel that connection with the university. And that was one of my questions for you, Todd. Shaka Smart, tell me he's not going anywhere.
I mean, I hope not. I mean, it's you know, it's one of those things, like, 3 days, 4 days into the job, he calls me, and I don't know why. You know, like, it's, there's, you know, thousands of former players. There's people that have impacted the program more than I did. And he called, and his memory is phenomenal. You know, he talked about being an assistant coach at Dayton when I played, and, you know, we talked about certain plays. Like, he's an unbelievably smart person, and sometimes that does not correlate to, from a social standpoint, because he does a good job of asking questions. So his mind is working like fillers, and then it, like, almost hits him and you kind of see it. And he goes, man, 2002, 2003, you guys put us at Dayton in mid-December and blah, blah, blah. But then watching him coach, he invited me to a practice, and then I watched him coach. And again, and I coached for 16 years. I've been around a lot. I've been in it. He doesn't waste words with his players. He doesn't waste words and energy with his staff. Like, he speaks with a purpose. Everything he does is with a purpose. It's genuine. And to answer your question, I mean, it would be really, really, really hard to replace someone like that. Not that someone can't come in and have similar success, sure, but the overall package is really hard.
That is the voice of Todd Townsend. He is a former Marquette University Golden Eagle, who went to the Final Four in 2003 on that really exciting team. Talk about beating Kentucky, Todd, that year. That was pretty cool. They were the number one seed, right?
Yeah, they were number one seed. They were number one team, and they were the number one overall seed, number one team in the country. You know, they had something ridiculous. Like, they didn't trail for, you know, all of league play since, like, you know, like, not even, like, down 2-0. They were really good, you know. But I think it's easier when you have a Hall of Famer guard on your team. And so that was, you know, it's this time of the year you see flashbacks, commercials, and Instagram reels of that game. And I still can't believe I was a part of it.
You know what's funny is I remember I lived in Los Angeles at the time, 2003. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I had met you yet, because you kind of came into the family just a few years earlier. So I remember we were, like, rooting for you, even though I hadn't met you yet. And it was, I still felt this connection to you. So I got to live vicariously a little bit. I also want to say, Todd, you're what, 6'7"?
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting shorter now. Now that I don't have to play, I'm 6'6". Yeah.
Okay. My brother Andy is 6'6". I'm barely 6 feet. At my height, I wasn't quite 6 feet. Kevin, Kyle, Jack, they're all tall. You guys all, I always wanted to be taller. I remember when I went to DePaul University and I played intramural ball, all I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in and he was having a bad day. And he looks, we're just playing a pickup game. And he goes, hey guys, can I get a dunk? And somebody throws him the ball. And he runs in and powers it down. And I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know? So I admire you and your height and your basketball ability. It's just phenomenal. So, all right. So you guys beat Kentucky. When did Tom Crean leave then? He left shortly after, right?
No. He actually, so that was my sophomore year. I stayed, you know, then I graduated 2 years later in 05, and then I actually stayed on a coaching staff for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, right.
A young coach for 05, 06, 06, 07. And then 05, 06, 06, 07, 07, 08 was his last year at Marquette. And that's where he then went to Indiana University. Right. You know, after that. So, you know, I think, you know, five, six years after the Final Four, he saw Marquette change conferences, oversaw that to get them into the Big East Conference. And you know, he had some success, you know, going to a better league too than Conference USA. And, you know, the one thing about Tom is that he took Marquette where in the 90s they were so inconsistent. They had some really good teams and they dipped. We had coaches leave, you know, take other jobs. And then, like, when he got the job in 99, you know, Wisconsin had that magical year. We don't talk that, we don't say that word too often in this house, you know, but they had that magical year. Green Bay had that. I think basketball in the state of Wisconsin was so. It was like he came at the right time. Bo Ryan came at the right time. Bruce Pearl came at the right time. You know, like Coach Bennett was, you know, in Green Bay. And now you're starting to see that again here. Yeah. And I think you're going to see it. You're going to see this again here. You guys got Sundance Wicks in Green Bay. He's a friend of mine. We worked together. He did, you know, UWGB had a magical year. Milwaukee's back on that path. Yeah. And, you know, so like you get these coaches, you have these personalities, you know, in these places. And, you know, that's, and again, maybe that's Coach Lombardi, like, you know, looking over the state of Wisconsin, sprinkling in and, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I, you know, it's been magical, you know, and fun to watch the state of Wisconsin from a basketball standpoint.
That's so,
you
know, cool. My guest is Todd Townsend. Coming up next, I want to get Todd's predictions for this weekend. Mm. We'll do that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. What celebrity would you want to hang with before they became famous? That is tonight's question. Let us know. We'll read your text in just a few minutes. We've got former Marquette University basketball player Todd Townsend with us here tonight, talking a little Marquette University basketball. The Golden Eagles are in the Sweet 16. Todd, do you think they'll get past the Sweet 16? You think they'll make the Final Four, Elite Eight? What are you thinking?
I do. I do. I think, you know, NC State's going to be tough. They got they're playing at such a high level right now. A team that wasn't supposed to make the tournament to win 7-8 games in a row. They got a rhythm.
Yeah.
That's always scary, but Marquette's really good. You know, and I think they can get past Houston or Duke, you know, to face Purdue. That's my predictions in the Final Four.
Well, you know, Wisconsin beat Purdue, so they're definitely beatable, yeah. Right? If they can get past this bracket.
They're beatable, but Wisconsin matches up better in a sense with their size up front. You know, they got some, you know, they got some big boys up front. Marquette's kind of thin up front, and I think that's going to hurt them in their very first game this week. Marquette matches up better with Duke, you know, because they got kind of some tall, thin front line guys. Marquette played Purdue earlier in a year, I think in Maui, in the championship game and lost. And again, but it was a close game. And, you know, again, it's all about this time of the year is all about players making plays. A coach can draw up whatever they want to, but it's can that person, you know, we talk about, it's not about the X's and O's, it's about the Jimmy and the Joes this time of the year. So, you know, hoping that we can make some shots this weekend.
Yeah. Who would surprise, or who do you think we should look out for? Do you see another team that could cause problems or still make some noise in the tournament? Who do you have your eye on?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you talk about UConn, you know, they're obviously UConn. They're a numb overall seed, you know, but Duke is playing well right now. And I know saying that, that might not be a surprise to a lot of the listeners, but this is a different group, Duke era. You know, Coach K's not there. John Shire's there. You know, they don't have these, you know, they got some older players and, you know, things of that nature. But if I was to pick any team that's kind of playing in like kind of a revenge, angry, kind of mad at the world type deal, it would be Houston. I think over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been up. You know, Michigan beat them like 5 years ago on a buzzer beater. They lost in the Final Four last year. Like, they've gotten so close so many times, and I think they might be playing with a just kind of with a vengeance that Marquette's kind of played with the last, you know, this year, you know, coming up short last year. So my team that I'm really scared of is Houston. You know, I just, they're tough, they're nasty, it's not pretty, you know, it's gritty basketball, and you know, this time of the year that can win games.
Boy, I'll tell you, the other night too, watching them when they almost lost, I was like, that's the kind of thing I think that can help propel you when you escape like that. They should have lost that game probably if you go by momentum. Yeah. And it sucks. I hate when teams I like are in the same bracket because I could easily cheer for Houston. I like the coach. Yeah. They're gritty, like you say. And but obviously I want Marquette. But so Todd, your time at Marquette as a player, what's your favorite memory for you personally? A moment on the court you had that you look back on and it just makes you feel good.
On the court, I don't know. You know, like I think it's hard. I mean, when we talk about the Final Four year, that year was so special to us for like so many other reasons. I think for the first time in my life, I noticed that like we had Jay Billis, you know, the ESPN analyst, you know, personality came in, speak to us early in the year. And Tom Crean, they brought in all these unbelievable speakers, Willie Green, all these people came to, you know, speak to us kind of throughout the year. And he talked about the difference between like a goal and like your destination. You know, he asked, hey, what's your goal? What's your goal? And we all said, oh, Final Four. Or this. He's like, that's a destination. There's a difference. Like, you guys got to have goals to get to that destination. And it stood out. It was one of the speakers that year that stood out, you know, so much, because then we broke the season down as goals. And I think when you accomplish those goals, and, you know, it makes me like, even now in my life, like I look back to that. And I was telling someone more so than ever, like, I didn't use it enough in coaching when I coached. Don't use it enough with my kids. And now that I'm a small business owner and, you know, I'm trying to motivate these people and build this team, I go back to that Final Four team and we don't talk about at the end of the year, we want to be able to do this, or at the end of the month, we talk about that process and small goals. So each time we reached a goal, it stood out to us, you know, and then the Final Four happened. And then the regret we have is that we didn't talk about winning a national championship more. We talked about going to the Final Four. And, you know, has that been our destination? So it definitely, like, that's, you know, outside, you know, the on-the-court thing, that by far stands out the most. So it's not like this one memory. It's all about, oh, Todd, we reached this goal. Man, that was awesome. And, you know, it's, you know, that process is...
That's, you know, so great. That's really cool. I'm glad you had that experience, buddy. It's so great spending some time with you here tonight. And I can't.
No, thanks for having me. I loved it. You know, I hope I was able to add some value. This is awesome. And
absolutely. You know, if they make the Final Four, maybe we'll do it again next week or something.
We have to.
If you can get away from your kids again. Back on.
Tell Conrad I'm calling him.
All right, sounds good. So, say hi to Christine and the kids, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Say hi to Joe for me. Tell everybody hi. Thanks.
He's up next. I'll tell him, Todd. Thank you. That's Todd Townsend, a proud Marquette Golden Eagle from that Final Four team in 2003. And my cousin, it was great to have him on the show. And boy, I would like nothing more than to have, well, I have Todd back anyway, but it would be great to be in the Final Four next week and have him back. Conrad.
Yes.
Take a memo. We got to get Todd back if they make the Final Four for sure next week. Okay, so coming up in just a few minutes, it's National Joe Day. I have a Joe. He's not national to me. He's more local because he's my son. But We'll talk to Joe about how he spent National Joe Day. And then we're going to do some Office Jeopardy with Joe because he thinks he knows everything about The Office. And he actually got me into The Office. And he is filling Ben Chan's shoes from last night, who did not want to play Office Jeopardy with us. And Ben's earned the right. So that's coming up next. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You don't have to call me, tell it.